The scripture today is from the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 21st through the 35th verses, page 1527 in the Pew Bible. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." The word of God for the people.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Melda. Jim Talley and Terry Benner, in their book, True Colors, tell the story of a man named Joe who decided to take an afternoon walk through the foothills just above the lake where he had been fishing. And Joe was comfortably dressed in shorts, a t-shirt, and tennis shoes, when suddenly he felt a sharp pain in his leg as he stepped over a small log. It was then he noticed a large diamondback rattler slithering into the undergrowth beside the log. He looked down at his leg and saw he was bleeding from two puncture wounds in his right calf. He thought, "I must get to the hospital. But first, I'll find that blankety-blank snake and kill it." Now, we had some Boy Scouts at the other church, and two of the boys looked at me and went, "What?" They did better. So Joe began his frantic search for this rattlesnake that bit him, and he spent precious time looking under logs and turning over rocks searching for this snake. Meanwhile, of course, the venom quickly coursed through his body, and the exertion from that search left Joe dizzy and weak. He then turned to go back to his car, but only after a few steps he collapsed in the path and lay there as the venom traveled to his heart, ending his life. Hours later, the sheriff found Joe's body and called the paramedics, and they concluded that Joe died of a snake bite, but they couldn't understand why. He'd only been 5 minutes from his car and 20 minutes from the nearest hospital. He should have survived his encounter with that rattlesnake. It's simply that in his anger, he wanted revenge on the rattlesnake more than he cared about the seriousness of that rattlesnake bite. Now, I'm sure you've heard before, I don't get mad, I get even. Heard that before. Well, there's a much better option, and that is forgive. Forgive. Have you ever wondered why Jesus was so adamant that his disciples practice forgiveness in all their relationships? Well, in our text for today, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? You know, Peter probably felt like he was being generous when he proposed seven times, because most of the rabbis at that time were requiring only three times. And it shows that Peter already sensed that Jesus had a bigger heart than any of his contemporaries. But even he was surprised at Jesus' response. Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. So let's just stop there for a moment. Some translations of Christ's words insist that he said 70 times 7, not simply 77 times. After all, Jesus loved to use exaggeration to make his point when teaching his disciples. So think about that larger number for a moment. How many times should I forgive someone who does me wrong? Do the arithmetic. 77 times, that's 490 times. Can you forgive someone who's doing you wrong 490 times? 77 times seems like an impossibility, but 490 times? In other words, Jesus is saying there's to be no limit to our willingness to forgive. No one. And so you might ask, doesn't Jesus realize how difficult that is? Well, isn't that a silly question? Of course he does. Imagine how difficult it was for him as he hung on the cross to forgive those who were taunting him and beating him. We put him there. Imagine how difficult it is for him to forgive everyone who's ever betrayed him. Who's ever sinned, including you and me. That would be everyone. The number of times didn't matter. He taught unlimited forgiveness. He preached unlimited forgiveness. So let's get real for a moment. Jesus isn't saying that we're to stand passively by while somebody abuses us 490 times. That would be absurd. It wouldn't be beneficial to the abuser or to the one being abused. It doesn't mean you're going to live with the person or be friends or even like that person. But there's solid reasons why forgiveness is called for. We forgive in the first place because it's in our own best interest. Now, Joe acted irrationally when bitten by a rattlesnake. But how rational is it to carry around resentments for many years? Something that many or even most of us are guilty of doing. Someone has said that harboring resentments is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Someone else has said that letting hatred simmer within us, eating at our emotions and our body, is like burning down our house to get rid of rats. C.S. Lewis, yes, C.S. Lewis once observed that he had finally forgiven a man who'd been dead more than 30 years. Imagine carrying around negative feelings towards someone for 30 years after they've been dead. How many of us have have been angry with people and that they've not even known it. And instead, that other person's been outcast. Why would you do that to yourself? The very first chapter of his book, Total Forgiveness, Pastor R.T. Kendall tells of a time when someone very near and dear to him hurt him greatly. He doesn't say who it was. He doesn't say exactly what they did, only that the pain was deep and the hurt was profound because he looked at this person as a surrogate father figure. The anger that he felt overwhelmed him. At length, he talked it over with a highly respected pastor friend. After he poured out all the sordid details of what his so-called friend had done to him, he paused, waiting for this pastor friend to say, "RT, you're right. You're right to feel so angry. What happened to you is awful." But he didn't. After listening to all the details, his friend simply said, "You must totally forgive him." Pastor Kendall was dumbfounded, and so he started to tell the story all over again, and this time adding more details. But his friend interrupted him with words that would challenge R.T. Kendall's life. And he said, "You must totally forgive him. Release him, and you will be set free." So think about those words. You must totally forgive him. Release him, and you will be set free. Well, he did, and he was. We forgive in the first place because it's in our own best interest to do so. E. Stanley Jones once noted that a rattlesnake, if it's cornered, will sometimes become so angry that it will bite itself. And that's exactly what the harboring of hate and resentment against others is. A biting of oneself. We think that we're harming others in holding these negative feelings, but the real harm is to ourselves. This is to say that forgiveness and true happiness go hand in hand. It's true. This is the dynamic to forgiveness that's often overlooked. There was an article in USA Today that was titled, "Psychologists Now Know What Makes People Happy." The article reported the findings of University of Michigan professor Christopher Peterson. What Peterson discovered was that forgiveness is the single behavior most strongly linked to happiness. Did you get that? Did you hear it? Forgiveness is the behavior most strongly linked to happiness. You can never be truly happy if part of your heart harbors resentment towards someone else. Kent Crockett in the 9/11 handbook puts it this way. Unforgiveness will keep us chained to whomever we don't forgive. When we go to bed at night, the unforgiven person is there to keep us awake. When we go on vacation, the unforgiven person travels with us to our destination. The only way to get unchained is to forgive and to release the person who has offended us. And there's a third reason for us to practice forgiveness that's even more compelling. It's part of our commitment to Christ to forgive. It's part of our commitment to Christ to forgive. Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Matthew 6:12. We prayed it this morning, right? We forgive because we have been forgiven. Pastor Eric Ritz has written this. The Bible is very clear here. If we do not forgive others their trespasses against us, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive our trespasses against Him. We must forgive in order to be forgiven. There's a good reason for this. The love of God cannot enter an unforgiving heart. And if we don't allow God's forgiveness to first enter us, we can't pass on what we haven't yet received. However, once we genuinely experience it, we can do nothing else but forgive. Being unforgiving has the effect of locking the door of the heart from the inside. Since our God never forces his way in or kicks down the door, we must first open it from the inside. Forgiveness is a gift from God. We've been forgiven, so we are able to forgive others. Jesus followed his answer to Simon Peter with a parable of a man who owed his king 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents, we're told, was about the equivalent of 15 years worth of wages of labor in that day. 15 years. The king forgave the man his debt. And then that same man, an acquaintance who owed him the amount of about 100 denarii, and that's about a single day's wage. That very man who had this enormous debt discharged by the king couldn't find it in his heart to forgive the tiny debt owed him by his neighbor. The king heard, he was furious. He had the man who would not forgive his tiny debt thrown in jail. He was forgiven for an amount equivalent to 15 years labor, but he couldn't forgive an amount equivalent to one day's labor. In the same way, we've been forgiven an enormous debt by God. So we're to forgive others as we've been forgiven. Forgiveness of others is part of our Christian responsibility. You might remember this. In 1983, Mehmet Ali Aka was in the midst of the crowd at St. Peter's Square. He pulled a gun out of his pocket and he tried to assassinate Pope John Paul II. He was arrested and imprisoned. And then in January of 1984, the Pope visited the prison. When he walked through the cell door, he said to that young man, "I forgive you." The papers in the city of Rome made a lot out of it, but an editorial writer made a significant statement. He said this: "Of course the Pope forgives the man who tried to kill him. After all, he is the Pope. Forgiveness is his business." Forgiveness is the Pope's business. But it's also the business of every follower of Christ. So here's the final thing to be said. Forgiveness makes it possible for relationships to be maintained. It's sad when relationships are broken because people cannot or will not forgive. Because relationships are what life is about. Father Jamie Quattro tells about a gift that she received from her father when she was 16, on her 16th birthday. It was a refurbished 1969 Chevy Malibu convertible. It was cherry red with chrome accents, had a V8 engine. It was a true classic. A perfect car for Jamie and her best friend Hannah to go cruising around their hometown of Tucson, Arizona. With the top down, of course. Jamie's friend Hannah was a very attractive young lady. She was a year younger than Jamie, and she had stunning good looks. So she was still in high school. Hannah had already signed with a modeling agency, had already done some catalog work. A month after Jamie's birthday, she and Hannah were out for a drive, taking a curve too fast to hit a patch of dirt and fishtail, plowing through a neighbor's landscape wall. They drove into a full-grown palm tree. Front wheels of the car came to rest halfway up the tree trunk. The damage to the car was the least of their troubles. Jamie and Hannah were both wearing seat belts, but in that classic Malibu, there were no shoulder harnesses, and as a result, Jamie cracked her cheekbone on the steering wheel, and Hannah's forehead split wide open on the dash. Both girls survived what would need services of a plastic surgeon, particularly Hannah. When Hannah's mother, Sharon, came into Jamie's room at the hospital, Jamie began to cry as she braced herself for Sharon's anger. And instead, Sharon took Jamie's hand and she said, "I rear-ended my best friend when I was your age. I totaled her car and mine." And Jamie blurted out, "I'm so sorry." Sharon said, "You're both alive. The rest is window dressing." And Jamie started to blurt out a protest, but Sharon stopped her. "I forgive you." And then she added, "Hannah will too." And she did. Even though the finest plastic surgeon in Tucson operated on Hannah's forehead, she never modeled again. Sharon's forgiveness allowed Hannah and Jamie to continue their close friendship throughout high school and college, and then to be in each other's weddings. And Jamie says this about this episode in her life. She says, "I think of Sharon's gift of forgiveness every time I'm tempted to resent someone for a perceived wrong. Whenever I see Hannah, the scars are so faded, no one else would notice. But in the sunlight, I can still see the faint shimmer just below her hairline. For me, after all these years, an imprint of grace." Jamie enjoyed the beautiful convertible she received on her 16th birthday, but she'll be the first to tell you that the greatest gift she ever received was the gift of Sharon's forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift God has given us. It's a gift that we are to pass on to others. So let me ask, is there resentment in your heart towards someone? Someone you were once close to? Perhaps someone in your own family or a close friend or someone near, even just an acquaintance. Why not free yourself from that anger and bitterness with God's help today? Doesn't mean you need to be best friends or even friends at all. Just forgive. Take the weight off your shoulders and be set free. Amen.